guys, welcome to Coming Out of Your Podcast. I'm Chinaza.
And I'm Shivani.
And yeah, that's our duo.
How has your last week been since Sunday, Chinaza?
I love how you said since Sunday because you want me to talk about the Super Bowl. Okay, I'm not gonna lie, like I am not a football or sports fan like that, other than like soccer. And even then, like when I say soccer, I mean the FIFA World Cup. I don't mean like Manchester United. Are you a Chelsea fan? Like I'm every woman. I'm all of them. Like I don't have a preference. But like, yeah, I watch the Super Bowl. Like I'm at least devout in that sense. And Shivani, like I have so much to say about how that went on Sunday. Like what the heck happened?
Yeah, that was like truly insane, especially like as many of you guys know, like I live in Philly, so I was really excited to just like be part of like a historical moment, and like it was really gonna happen. Like that's my thing. Like it really truly was gonna happen
the full time.
And honestly, like I just genuinely don't know what happened. Like we were winning, we were doing great, the vibes were great until it wasn't great, and the city was silent. Like truly, Chinaza, like the city was silent at the end of the night.
I can hear it in your heart because like the kind of like I know that you processed this and have now like now it's like dead to you, like what happened, because that's low key I feel like how you process things. Like it happens, you're like pissed about it, and then it's like dead to you, like what am I gonna do, like it's done. And because Shivani was like on, like she was posting on Instagram, like, you know, like all of the updates, like, you know, it's happening every week. Actually, me and Shivani, when I visited Shivani in Philly, we literally got a jersey for her puppy, Parlay. Like,
yeah.
An Eagles
jersey.
Yeah,
I'm not like I do watch football. Like I do keep up with things. So, like, again, like, this was really exciting. Like when Chinaza came, like she said, like, I bought Parlay. Eagles jersey and everything, and he wore it for every game.
It was
game.
So cute.
Like it was really cute.
We were in that store for a while though, I'm not gonna lie, just trying to figure out which Shivani's like, it didn't feel like a long time.
It really didn't feel like a long time to me.
Shivani's a dog mom, by the way. She loves, like, we were in there, she's like, which size is best, like which outfit is best. We were talking with the store owner, she was showing us pictures of her dog. We were like,
wait,
in
Chinaza.
There she's like, should I get a biscuit, like she was like
no, but Chinaza, let me let the audience know that Chinaza was a dog auntie. Like, I don't know why she's acting like she wasn't into it, because you were. Like, you were the one that was, you were like, this black one honestly would look better. And I was like,
yeah,
you know,
I mean,
you're right.
I'm gonna, if I'm there, yeah. Like, I love Parlay. Like, even though Parlay might not love me as much as I have love.
Honestly, no, Parlay does love you, but you just have come once and... Oh, left. Okay. So, you know,
like, she's you gotta, saying I'm an absentee auntie.
You're an absentee auntie, but it's fine. It's okay.
But I'm picking out the clothes in the background. Like, he doesn't even know the love that I have.
I'm crying.
For him.
But to reel it back in a little bit.
Sorry, I just needed to make some things known. Like, I love how you're able to flip that back on me, because then I got defensive. Like, all of a sudden, like, I don't know how we ended on that note, but you're right. Back to the Super Bowl and what happened. Like,
so just to let like our listeners know that don't watch football, you know, the Super Bowl is like the finals of, you know, the season. It's like the last two teams standing, and this year it was the Chiefs versus the Eagles, which the Eagles, I don't know, I think it's just like there's a combination of why it is so crazy. I think partially like the city of Philadelphia is just crazy. Like they love very hard no matter like what. And then there's a big loyalty as well that follows with it. And additionally, the Eagles kind of suck, or they have sucked, let me say, for a various of reasons. So it's like when we make it to when they make it to like playoffs, even, it's a big deal. So with our new quarterback, like Jalen Hurts, I think last season he brought the team
to
the playoffs.
Wait, is he the one who's fine?
Yeah, he's the one that looks fine, Chinaza.
He is. Okay, sorry. Like, this isn't, I know this is about football, this isn't about him. But Jalen Hurts, First of all, he's only 24 years old. Let's just start there.
Is he like, 24 or 25?
24. Unless his birthday was in the past.
That means he's 1 year older than me. Look at where I'm at versus where he's at.
I mean, like no what? Journey is linear. Period. But also, like, I don't know. He's, like, if you watch, like, 90s movies, like, he's 90s fine. Like, he's got the, like, straight cut, like, he has that, like, swag that's, like, I'm not trying too hard. He's humble. He's also, like, in a serious relationship with an MBA student. Yeah, like,
Wait, you just broke my heart because I didn't know about this girlfriend.
That's yeah, he crazy. Has, like, a girlfriend. He's, like, very, like, well, I'm not going to speak, like, I have to always hold my bite my tongue when I sing a man's praises too much, because, like, never sing a man's praises. You never know what's going on too much. But, like, or maybe that's just a personal rule, because whenever I rave about a man, I always hear something the next day and get embarrassed.
No, I definitely agree with that.
So I'm just like, okay. But from what I know, like, he's just, like, very humble. Like, he's actually pretty godly. And he has this, like, his girlfriend is, like, I think a little bit older, and she's, like, an MBA student and is, like, on her own grind. And, like, he, like,
I will say, like, aside from the girlfriend, I do think he's a really, like, great person. Like, you have to be around this area. Like, you have to move, obviously, like, when you get, you know, when you're a part of a team. You can't be, like, commuting from, like, Texas to Philly / Jersey. Right. So, like, I read
But you can't be commuting?
You can't be commuting. Cannot.
From Jersey commuting. To Philly?
No, I said from Texas to, like, the Philly, Jersey area. Oh,
from Texas to Philly. Okay, got it.
Like, Texas to the Philly / Jersey area. Like, I combine those two areas. Okay, yeah.
That's too much. You're right.
Because, like, a lot of, like, those players, like, they end up living in the suburbs of Jersey.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's, like, such a side topic. But what I was saying is that, like, I read somewhere that, like, he, like, has not bought a house, like, in Philly, like, or Jersey. Like, he's very, like, financially, like, responsible with his money. Like, he's just here when he needs to be. But otherwise, he's, like, in Texas with his, like, mom. He has a really good relationship with his, like, mom. And, like, I don't know. It's just, like, really wholesome, like, what I was reading about him. So we love him. We truly do. But, like, last year, he brought us to the final. He brought us to the playoffs, which was, like, a really big deal because, again, like the first the step. Eagles kind of suck. Like, and I'm saying that with love, let me say. Like,
I'm, like, it's just a little true. Bit confused. I'm not going to lie because I've watched the Super Bowl every year since, like, at least 2008. Right. And
of course.
I guess I haven't – I've only seen the Eagles. I almost said the Phillies. That's so embarrassing. I've only seen the Eagles.
Twice.
Is accurate, I guess. But, like – I don't know. I felt like they were kind of doing something. Like, we'd have the spirit days at school, and, like, also another thing that's weird. I hate to change the subject again. We will get back to what you're saying, Shivani. But why is it that in South Jersey? Because, like, me and Shivani are both from South Jersey. But, like, as you guys know, but we've been Eagles fans, like, for a long time. Like, before, like, just, like, Shivani moved to Philly. Like, it's always been like that. And I'm just like, it's weird because, like, even for spirit days in, like, elementary school and in high school, it was like, oh, some people are, it's like Eagles, Steelers, or Giants. Some people Giants. And that's, like, weird. Like, I think that that's a little weird that we still, like, even the Steelers, some people, like, chose to be different and, like, be like, oh, I'm a Steelers fan. Even when I was in third grade, I think I just chose to be a Steelers fan randomly because I was like, it's different. Like,
I'm crying. Well, that happens because, like, a lot of, like, their, like, family, like, may have been from that area. So, like, there's, like, a loyalty because I feel like you choose your fandom, I think. Especially, like, for me, you choose it based off of, like, what your family is rooting for. And then as you get older, you actually, like, if you continue watching football, you, like, realize, like, what you like, which teams you like. Like, the more you get invested in a sport, like you're saying, like, with soccer, it's, like, then the more, like, you form your own opinion. So I feel like when we were younger, like, I feel like a lot of the kids, like, they had jerseys because their parents bought them their jerseys. And, like, they were, they're probably Steelers fans or Giants fans. I think definitely in South Jersey, it's a very, like, heavy Eagles area. Like, if you are caught wearing, like, a Giants, like, hoodie, like, you're going to be looked at really weirdly because
that's actually very true. Which is weird. I was a Giants fan for a little bit when I, because I came from North Jersey. was a Giants and a Yankees fan, which I know, like, it's weird, but, like, that's just where I was coming from. Like, I was a North Jersey person.
I wish there was, like, a video. I wish that there's sometimes when we are doing our podcast and there's, like, these key moments, I think, like, Chinazo or I, like, make a face and it just hits, like, with the comedic, like, I feel like it, the video aspect would make it more funny.
It would blow up your face, like, it zoom in your face going like that and we transition it and stuff.
Like, my, like, face full of judgment, like, I feel like the audience also needed to look at it, you know?
You call it a face full of judgment. And then my face of embarrassment where I'm like, I'm going to keep saying what I'm saying because that's my truth, but I don't like the way you're looking at me sideways right now while I'm trying to tell you how I feel about this. But I mean, like, that's just what it was. Like, I was a Giants fan. I was a Yankees fan. Like, yes, that's what I did. I don't know what the hockey team in New York is. I'm sorry. I don't watch hockey. I know that we're Flyers. Huh?
Yeah, I said I don't watch hockey either.
Yeah, I don't know who. Well, let me not disrespect the hockey fans that are listening. I know people watch hockey and enjoy it, but I don't know. I don't have a single friend who's like super hockey, like, yeah. Gung-ho. I don't have a single one.
So anyway, going to
sorry, I keep on derailing us.
Even though, like, the Eagles, like, going back to what your point is that, well, like, I've seen them twice, so they're like, they're doing their thing, but it's like the Chiefs have made it to the Super Bowl more. The Patriots have made it more. And forget about the Super Bowl. Like, that doesn't – getting to the Super Bowl is, like, an accomplishment for sure. But getting to the playoffs is also, like, you should. Like, any decent team should, like, and will get to the playoffs.
Wait,
and
how many spots are there on the playoffs? Like, four?
No more. I actually don't know the exact number, to be honest. I'm not trying to lie. But, like, there's two different conferences. And then, like, I don't know the exact number, but, like, – depending on which part of, like, the country you're in, there's two different conferences. You play with your own conference, then you win that conference, and then that's the Super Bowl. Like, the two teams that win the two conferences.
Oh, so I actually didn't know that.
So, like, I think the Eagles should be, like, that's why where me saying that they, like, normally, usually suck comes from. It's just because we've had, like, a poor team. We haven't made it to the playoffs for, like, that many seasons. Or at least that I have been an adult.
In this, like,
family. Or, like, a teenager slash adult. Like, maybe when I was younger. Like, I'm just trying to cover my bases because I don't want anyone commenting and being like, this girl's and being wrong. Like,
well, I checked the records from 2010 and 2011, like, and it seems to me that...
Yeah, like, literally, I will
you're
be
spreading
like,
a little bit of misinformation here.
Yeah. So it's just, like, covering my bases. But anyway,
it's also not a sports podcast.
Right. Literally. It really, truly isn't. But anyway, so them getting to the, you know... One, being in the playoffs was great. And then two, winning the, like, being in the Super Bowl was amazing too. And yeah. It was really exciting. And I think Jalen Hurts is, like, doing great things. Because I think next year we're going to win the Super Bowl. Like,
I really hope so.
Clip this and then, like, let it be heard next year.
I really hope so. Because, like, I didn't know. Honestly, like, first of all, there's a lot of history in the Super Bowl. Like, they're, like, the first two, like, black quarterbacks. Which, honestly, I'm kind of confused. Because, like, aren't most... Sorry, guys, but, like, most football players, I understood that a lot of them are black. So, like, I didn't know that the quarterback was, like, a historical.
A lot of quarterbacks aren't.
So that's surprising to me because I was like, okay, I just assumed that, like, that means that the quarterbacks would also be black as well. But apparently that's just not the way it goes. And I was trying to, like, and I think that's well known, which is crazy how I didn't know that. But I'm also confused is, like, why not? Like, is it, like... just because it's about throwing or something and running. Like, I'm like, isn't that what football is about? So
I think it has,
I'd be
like,
a great
there's
football
like different,
mom,
like,
as you can tell.
See, this, like, I can't, like, I wouldn't be able to answer because I'm not sure. Like, because I don't know if it's, like, a racial bias, like, conversation or if
it's like,
just
oh, it's
genuinely,
a leadership
like,
role or something like that. Yeah.
Like, or if it's just, like, the positions that they, like, ended up choosing. Like, you know, like, I feel like,
yeah,
honestly, it might be a racial thing too, because, like, if you think about it, like, white people aren't going to choose positions that just get tackled, like, 24/7. Like, they're not going to be like,
yeah, like, linebacker,
you know, like, exactly. So they're going to choose, like, if they're going to play basketball, if they're going to choose to play football, then they may be choosing, like, positions that are
leadership
a tad
like
bit
more like running.
I don't know about the leadership aspect again, like, I don't want to go in that area, but I would say, like, they would choose positions that, like, all they have to do is really like run fast and throw and like try to avoid getting tackled. Because there are positions that the whole purpose is to tackle, you know? There are positions that are, that's the job to tackle.
Yeah.
So
one thing I will say is, yeah, so like that was the first thing. Like, there's the first time like they're like two black quarterbacks playing, facing off each other. Yeah, that was cool. And then also the brothers who were
also Kelsey facing brothers. Each other.
And the mom was like wearing like half and half.
Yeah, that's so, so cute. Adorable.
So the mom's like, I'm winning either way. Like, but yeah, I would hate like, versing my sibling in a sport, I feel like. Because it's like, I'll tell you guys a quick story. Like, me and Chidera, like my older sister, like, we did karate growing up. So we did Tung Soo Do. And we did it for maybe like 7 or 8 years. And so there are a lot of stages to getting the like different belts. Like you get like, I don't know, I don't even remember the number now, but it's like maybe like 15 belts and stages between like all that time and like your training and like learning like different aspects like forms and like moves and self defense and memorizing stuff. It's just a lot. And then when you get to the testing portion of it, there's multiple things. There's like a written test. There's an exam. So you write an essay. Like, you have to memorize things in Korean that I've since forgotten. And there's also multiple stages of, like, in-person, like, physical examination and sparring and, like, breaking wood and different things. So, like, when it got, we had to travel for the, like, black belt test, like, the final stage of it. And when it got to the sparring part, which is, like, the fighting part, like, they told us to team up. And then we had different, like, instructors examining specifically our fight and seeing like how we like navigated that, like our choices, the moves you're using and all of that. And they happened to pair me and my sister up against each other for the fight. And when I tell you, I kid you not, we were coaching each other throughout the entire fight. We're like, we're both trying to get our black belt, right? Like, let's not try to make each other look bad. Like, you'll get some hits. I'll get some hits. We'll, like, play it up. We'll make it a good fight for the audience. Like, we're going to, like, in the words of Shivani, we're going to give them a show. Like, we're going to do it. So we were doing, like, the most complex moves and, like, it was pretty much like a fight you'd probably see on like a movie or something. And they're like, wow, like,
yeah.
So I feel like that's really how it approached the Super Bowl too, which is not, you need to be on your team. You can't be like thinking about family at all if you guys are going against each other. And I don't know. I maybe mean, they're honestly, in totally like, different positions. Where it
I'm
wasn't.
Sure it like stings in some way, like just having to lose. But like also like, at the end of the day, like you're still your family when it like truly matters. And I feel like they definitely like showed that like when the game started, of course, like they're versing each other and it's all that matters is winning for each other.
Each side.
But then like once the game's done, like, you know, it's
what are we back, eating for dinner?
You're back
tonight?
To family. Yeah. And like you could see that too, like all the clips that they were showing, like both sides were there, like the mom was there. It's just like a really wholesome moment. But like that's such a cute, like just imagine, like this is like a story that you'll always have, like when you're older, like for them
to tell your kids
that like, oh, like I played your uncle in the Super Bowl. Like
that's like, a power what? move, like
that's a power
it's
move.
Just it's like, and I think it probably is so gratifying for the mom to just like after all of that work and all of those like practices and like long nights, like just seeing them just both face each other off, like that's royalty status, because like she probably has like the most respect in that stadium, even more than like Elon Musk, because I know he was there, Jay-Z was there, but she's like the mother of two of the players. Like I feel like, and like I was watching the commentators were talking about how like people were like treating her like royalty and like showing her where to sit and like giving her flowers and just like, I don't know, I feel like I would be like such a, like a glowing like royalty symbol if that was me. I'd be like, I'd expect the best, like
because she really did that, like she put in, like at the end of the day, like your successes are like they're there because of your parents, and so it's like she really put in the work to like get her sons there. It's like awesome. Yeah. I really love that. But
I will say, just to, I hate to say taint this sweet moment, but I'm so sorry. The only reason why the Eagles lost is because of the ref. I know disagree. Other people I know people disagree with that. And I know, yes, like there were times in the game where the ref favored the Eagles, I guess, or like I know they docked a few points like sometime in the middle and stuff. I do think it was a good game. I think it was fair. I think it was right. But I'm just saying that you can't bring them down back all the way back to first down over like a small little like penalty or something. Like, I understand, but like, I think it makes me feel better that the guy like thought that was a fair call. Like, the guy that like the ref penalized against was like, I think it was fair. So I'm like, if you think it's fair, like if you're cool, okay, cool, I'm cool. But like at the end of the day, I think that just goes to show how rules matter so much, because like I don't think maybe the Chiefs might not have been able to get that touchdown. I will say though, the Chiefs are phenomenal at getting touchdowns out of nowhere. Like, whenever they have the ball is a touchdown. Like, I think the Eagles had possession for way more of the game, for most of the game, and yet the Chiefs were still right there every time, because every time they'd be doing fumble touchdowns. What's a fumble touchdown? I'd never seen that before. Like, they're just pulling a bunch of bells and whistles and tricks that, like, they play a good game.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I love the Chiefs. I'm not going to lie. Whenever I'm not rooting for the Eagles, like, that's, like, my team. So it was actually, like, really hard to, like, root against the Chiefs, because obviously, like, I'm an Eagles gal. But they just – their entire team is just, like, fantastic. It's – so, yeah. Like, I disagree. Like, it wasn't – going back to what your point was regarding the Eagles, I disagree with that, because I think that their defense, like, truly sucks. And I hope for, like, next season that they're able to better prepare, like, because it, that's, like, if you really look at all, like, if you rewatch the whole game, which I know no one will unless, like, I mean, people will, but, like, I'm not going to ever do that.
Right.
But,
you already know how it
is. Offense did great. Jalen did great. The defense did nothing. Like, that's where I'm saying, like, I'm not even saying that to be rude. Like, that's truly what it is. I think there were three touchdowns fumble. That the Chiefs had, that there was a complete opening. That's like why they got the touchdowns.
No, it would be the guy would just be running. Like, one of them he was skipping. One of them he skipped.
Yeah, because
he could.
Because there was no one around. So this is my point. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, I don't know. I think it was like, it was a hard loss, because I was telling my coworker this. It's like, if we weren't so close, it's like acceptable. Like, I feel like when leaving the game, we would have been like, ah, yeah, it's the Chiefs. Like, what can you do? But because the score was so close and we were 35. Like, we were leading until we weren't leading. That's like what stung the most. And the Chiefs are really good at this. Every single time I've seen them play, like, they're really good at coming back in the second half. Like, it's like the first half, they're kind of chilling, you know, they're just doing what they're doing. But then
it's tricky. It's
the second half. The second half, they just go crazy. And that's why I love them.
Yeah, they put on a show.
After.
Yeah, they put on a show. And also, like, I guess, like, I'm not going to lie. Like, yeah, they played a good game. They're good. And I think they were in there. Weren't they in the Super Bowl last year, too?
Yeah, they lost that, though.
Yeah, but it's not new to them. That'll be us next year. Like, we'll be like, oh, we were there last year, we lost, but here we are again.
Yeah, winning. That's why I'm comfortable in even saying that, like, I do believe that we'll be in the Super Bowl next year, because we played really well. I think having Jalen, like, he's a young guy that all he has to do is be better every day. Actually, wait, oh my God. Now that we're talking about Jalen Hurts again, so, like, I work with, like, you know, I work in
Don't tell research. Me you met Jalen Hurts or ran
No,
into
I didn't. I wish. Oh, my gosh. That would have been my opening.
You know, Shivani would be like, he just walked in the elevator and he smiled at me. And I didn't even know it was That's how all your stories go.
Oh, my God. I wish. No, that's not it. But I work in, like, research at, like, Penn, which is, like, really, like, you know, very obviously, like, Eagle-centric. Come on now. Like, we're right there. So the Phillies and Eagles and all the sports, like, get their medical care at Penn. So there was this, like, neurosurgeon. I think he was really going through it this past week. So, like, I think Tuesday or Wednesday, he sent out, like, this email, like, in the evening. Like, it was, like, 8, 9 p.m. So you could tell that he was, like, just, like in his, like, feelings. And he writes this, like, whole, like, spiel, and he's like, you know, I know it's this loss stung to everyone, but I wanted to, like, share this, like, with you guys. Like, I think New York Times or Washington Time Post, something, some
yeah, one of those.
Like, yeah, one of those articles, like, they wrote recapping, like, the loss and, like, an interview with Jalen Hurts. And he said this one thing, like, this quote. And I think, like, it really, like, resonated with me. And I think, like, honestly, this may be my new motto. And it was, you either win or you learn. And I'm sure you've heard this before. But it just felt like it just went through my like soul.
Your soul, like your core, like shook your core.
I'm sure like people have those moments. And that was like a moment for me, because I was like, yeah, it's not you win or you lose. It's you win or you learn.
Like, and that like quote kind of gives you, it's like, I know what that feeling feels like, because it kind of gives you chills like to hear it. It's like, oh, this is like adopting into like my psyche or like my code of ethics or something like that. And I think that like the win or you learn really runs in parallel with like either yes or better. Because like I, like one thing my sister always told me, or she actually only told me once and I just remembered it, was that like rejection is like redirection, and it's not to look at rejection and like sit in it and like be like, oh my gosh, like this, if not for this thing that happened, my life would be totally better. Because those people that walk around with their lives and they're like, this one moment defined everything for me, like, oh, like if it wasn't for, like, those people who like walk around like feeling like one setback redirected their life in the like totally negative trajectory or direction, and like there was no redemption for that, honestly did life wrong. I'm so sorry, like, if you're walking around thinking that, like, I understand like you suffered and like that's not to be taken away from you, but I find that there are a few situations that you can't bounce back from. And oftentimes, like, I find that like setbacks often open the doors for things. Like, a lot of people have other stories where like they have a setback, and rather than it being like the moment their life changed for the worse, it's like, actually, it was in that window where I found my wife, or it was in that window that like I actually got this promotion, or I got this opportunity. Kind of like, or I started developing my own other talents, and I realized that wasn't actually for me, and I just redirected pivoted my entire career towards something else.
Also, like, it opens other doors. Like, you've had this, and you talking about this, I'm like 100%. Like, every time I've faced rejection, like, in the next coming months, something else happens, and I'm like, that's crazy, because this is better than what I was even shooting for in the beginning, you know? So it's like, for sure. So I don't know, like, Jalen, to close up this Super Bowl conversation that really took more than half of the podcast, but like, I do think that they're going to make it to the Super Bowl because of that mentality. And I mean, he is like the goat of quotes, apparently. Like, he really is just great at like his quotes. But I think that like his psyche and the mentality, like, for him to be like saying these type of things, I think he is not just like all talk. I think that like he is driven, and you can see that drive in like everything that he does. And because of that, I do think that he's, we will be seeing the team, like, he will be leading the team to like another Super Bowl and winning.
Yeah. I mean, he reminds me like a lot of Kerry Washington's husband, who's also a football player and is also Nigerian. He's really fine, and he also is acting now. He's really cool, and he does a lot of philanthropy work. Look him up. I don't know his name right now. I think it's Nnamdi. Maybe I'm wrong about that. Anyway, but like, to make like what you were saying before about like the quote and like his like code of ethics and stuff like that, I think that that conversation is really relevant to something else that's going on right now, which is like that a lot of our peers are getting laid off, like, and like it does feel like the end of the road for a lot of people. And it's a weird feeling to be in that like space, because like the economy is just going through like a really hard time right now, and it's very disparaging. Like, our generation, like, first it was COVID, like, during our school, and then it's like we're leaving school, and then the market is going down and people are losing jobs. It feels like it's almost like kind of setback after setback. Like, people have to go and like stay living at home, or like don't really have like the direction that they were promised. Let's like do well in school and like these things will open up for you, and like those doors are kind of closing, it feels like, in a lot of like our friends' faces. It almost feels like, I mean, I don't mean to liken it to like the stock market crash of 2008, but I feel like in terms of like kind of like the hands up, like, I can't do anything about it, like the hopelessness that it can kind of spread, I've been seeing a lot. Because every day on LinkedIn, it's, oh, I like, these past 3 weeks have been great, and I'm sad to say that I'm no longer working at Meta, or like I'm no longer like, I don't know, the tech industry kind of just wreaked havoc on all of my friends, and like half of my friends are now unemployed, you know what I mean? So I guess that's like, yeah, hard to see.
No, it's actually crazy. Like, I actually really wanted to talk about this because with the privilege that I have for now, like for now, let me say, like, I am currently employed and doing great and well. And you know, Chinoz is in school, so
I get to hide out.
Yeah.
I hate to say it.
I feel like we're in positions of like, we're looking into like this traumatic like situation for many, like, because it's like, I feel like when we're growing up, I think there's like a negative connotation to getting laid off, you know, like,
right,
when you hear that like someone gets laid off, you're like
what did they do wrong?
What did they do, like, you know? And now it's kind of like everything is changing. Like, not to briefly, I don't want to like go into detail about this friend of mine, because of course, like, that's his business, but
hey,
he did put
details
this
never
out.
Killed anyone.
Yeah, he did put this out on his story, and obviously I'm not like putting out his like personal info, but like, he it was a kind of poetic the way that he like let everyone know that, you know, he got laid off. And it started with, you know, last Thursday I was laid off. This Thursday, like, I'm still processing like what happened, because, you know, I saw everyone getting laid off, and I, you know, would offer my words of, you know, wisdom and advice, and I was the shoulder for many, but I just never thought that it was going to be me. Like, even though I was like the one that was like consoling others, like, I didn't know that I would be next. Like, I never thought it was going to happen. I thought like I was indispensable, you know?
Yeah.
Irreplaceable.
Yeah. Indispensable, irreplaceable.
And, like, I think those words, like, I was just like, wow, it really sucks, because I think right now it's tech, but I think, the situation to me, I was just like, this really could happen to anyone. Like, I think we're just in this like sensitive era or world that your life can be turned upside down, and you just don't know. Another thing he was like saying is that he was like literally staying up all night the very night before to submit,
because he
like
felt like that imminent threat of getting laid off.
No. He was up
was
all
like,
night.
Is he like Raven?
Was up all night.
Raven. Sorry.
Okay.
This is like the most insensitive song to be singing.
That was actually really insensitive. I'm not gonna lie.
I'm sorry. Let's like, reshift that
was
it back
crazy.
To.
Like, that was wild. Like, whoa. I was just gonna say that, like, he was saying that he was like up all night, like the very night before, just like super passionate about like submitting this project, because like he was so into his position and like the work that he was doing, and it wasn't even for a large company, it was like this like startup, and the very next morning, like, he was off of like Slack, and like he just had this like one email, like in his personal email, saying that, like, you know, if you're receiving this email, then you've been laid off. Like, how like insensitive is that?
Like, some people didn't even get the pink slip. They didn't even get like the, like, and for me, that's a little cowardly. Like, if you're going to fire me, at least do it right. Like, call me into the office, give me the speech about how I'm a good worker and how like you care, but like explain it's just circumstances. I know it's cliche, but I would appreciate that. Like, having the dignity to like at least respect the time I put in, even if it's just like a short amount of time. Like, I did apply, I did go through all these stages. But instead, like, a lot of these companies, like, I read one LinkedIn post that was like, I actually just tried to log on one day and
couldn't.
they signed me out of everything.
Yeah.
And that's how I knew I got fired. And I'm like, this sounds like America's Got Talent, or not America's like Next Top Model or something. It's like, if you open your locker and there's nothing, if your stuff isn't there, you're out. Like, Tyra Banks being like, you're fired. One of my friends, because it's the tech, and then also Goldman Sachs had a massive layoff too, and one of my friends works there, and she didn't get laid off, but she was telling me how, like, for one of, like, she's on a small team of 9, and of the 9, I think 4 people were laid off or something like that. And she was saying that, like, I don't know, I think it just creates a weird culture, but, like, she was like, oh, like, that person kind of had it coming, because he was, like, he would always come in a little bit like later. Not that there was like a firm date time when you had to come into the office, but like he would come in a little bit later and stuff like that. And how he got fired was like they had like they wouldn't even let him come upstairs. They were like, we'll get your stuff, like you stay in the lobby, like you're no longer working here. And I feel like that's a little disrespectful, because I'm like, I guess it might be a little shameful to like clear your desk and stuff like that, but I think that like I want to be able to get my stuff. Like I like put the time, I invested time into this company, and I think that like this whole moment in time has kind of opened me up a little bit to thinking about job security. And I guess like that's kind of you might be thinking like, of course you should be thinking about job security, like you went to college, like you should have already thought of these things. But like I think that me and Giovanni are both going down career paths that are like known to be like pretty stable, respectable careers, and like that's part of the reason why we chose that route. Like we're immigrant kids, like we're gonna choose like careers where we can like see ourselves having a stable future for ourselves and our families. But at the same time, like I think it just made me think more about corporate too, and like what is actually happening here. Like these are businesses, and their job is to generate money. Like that's their bottom line, and it's like if they need to fire a slew of people to make that happen, then they'll hire consultants to show them where to fire people, and then they'll just do it. Like no matter what value you gave the company, it's not personal, it's business. And it's kind of a weird dynamic, because so much of what they tell you in navigating the corporate world is like build relationships, and they brand a very different story than like what's really kind of going on behind closed doors, or like what the real purpose of it is. Like, because they build it up like, oh, we're gonna take you to all these places and like build relationships and like find mentors and do all this stuff. But then I feel like it's in moments of crisis when like stuff really, like when rubber meets the road, when like people are just getting like fired next left and right. And I think that that has made me think about how I don't, in my job, I don't want to feel disposable. Like, I don't want to feel like a disposable worker. Like, and that's the kind of job security, like, in the kind of environment that, like, I need to, like, be in if I, like, see myself being in a career for a long time. And I know that there's limitations to how much you can feel that way. But I don't want to feel like at my job, like, they could fire me the next day and, like, nothing. They could get another me in a minute. You know what I mean? Like, I want to, first of all, like, create the reputation of someone who they know that, like, my work can't be replicated elsewhere. But also, like, being in an environment where, like, they're not, like, just, like, going to do, like, a mass layoff just because the economy is bad.
Yeah, I think it's, like, just so tricky. You know, I think, again, like you were saying, that, like, for me, like, there isn't really much corporate, right, with like healthcare. I mean, there is, but like being in like,
but people are always gonna
medicine,
be sick.
Being in medicine, being like a physician, which is like my like end goal and like where I am looking to like work, I think it's like a lot harder. And like you're saying, being indispensable and like not being able to, not having someone be able to replicate myself, as I think a little bit easier, because that's like the goal, right? Like when you're like, that's what you're taught, like, in whenever, like, being a pre-med or being in med school, like, that's what you're told. Like, you want to be the best of your best of the best, and you want to continue to specialize and be someone that patients want to see. Like, you know, like, I know physicians, surgeons, that people fly, like, across the sea to come see them because they're known in that specialty. But I think it's, like, harder for me to even talk about, like, even corporate, because, like, you're absolutely right. Like if you're just like another like entry level person, it's so much easier for, I think, like those higher ups to just kind of lay you off or lay someone off, because it's cheaper to, this is something that I thought was really crazy. It's cheaper to just hire than to continue to invest in one, like in your person. So I feel like the conversation of like loyalty and those things that we've heard when we were growing up, because this is something that like I feel like I've always heard, is like, you know, stay loyal to the company, like, you know, build your way up from the inside, like don't jump jobs. That was like the one thing that I remember when I was young, like always like told, like don't like work for like a year or 2 years and then go to another position somewhere else, because people are gonna look at that on your resume and be like, oh, she's a jumper. But like, right. to be honest, like now that's like the new because
to if, jump.
To jump. To jump. To jump before they.
That's a song.
To jump before they kick you out, you know, like it's yeah. like if you like do your thing, like make your income,
get your bag,
harness your skills, like harness your skills, be a better employee and then jump and go to the next position. I think that's like a good way of like building your expertise in like a certain field is to like do what you have to do, but continue like rising, but via jumping ship, honestly, because I think that this whole loyalty conversation, like I don't see it anywhere. Like I know, like I've yeah. heard of people like, you know, becoming VP of whatever in a department and still getting laid off because it's better for the company to lay you off than to continue investing dollars
in that department. There's only one company that I know that like doesn't do that, and it's like the job that my sister works for, because like because of what they do, like the kind of like that it's one of those industries that like no matter what the market is looking like, it's always a necessity. So they have like that policy where it's like we stick out hard times because like I think it's wrapped up somewhat in integrity, but it's also wrapped up in the fact that they're in a stable industry and like it serves their bottom line better to keep everybody yeah. than to fire and rehire and like invest a bunch in HR. But I do think like I think you're right, like in this like place where we're not in like the kind of like blue collar white collar 1950s like baby boomer work the same job the rest of your whole entire life at the same company. We're in an era, oh my gosh, I watched this the Harry Styles movie Don't Worry Darling, and it reminded me a lot of this very good movie for people who haven't watched it, but anyway, like we're no longer in that era. We're in an era where like you get what you get from the company, like you extract the job, like the life experience, the work experience, the talent, the skill, the mentorship, the connects, all of that. And then like when it's time to move on, you need to individually make that decision to do that before they themselves fire you in a hard time. And like it is very interesting too, because laterals are so common too in different places. So like if, for example, sometimes in the corporate world, it might make more sense to even work at a smaller business or like a smaller like company or firm or whatever, and then get at the top of that company and then lateral or transition. Lateral, for people who don't know, it just means like transition into like a higher position and not start entry level at a different company.
Right.
And it might be smarter to make it at the top of the smaller place and then transition into the bigger position, because they'll be like, oh, you're at the top of this firm, like we want
and
you to
already
be at the
have
top.
And you already have like said skills, like that's what I've like exactly right. like that's exactly it. And I think that's gonna be, I mean, that is already happening, like I hear that quite a lot, but I think that's gonna start to become such a norm, you know, like
yeah.
work wherever, like at an like coming out of college, like get your entry level job, like do what you have to do, like harness those like skills, and then where you like if you're making like 25,000, like, you know, keep building, like keep jumping and like building your way up and up, because it seems like companies don't want you to build up too much. Like I feel like that's what I'm seeing. It's like companies don't want you to like, and when I say companies, I'm really talking about corporate, like you said, like your sister's yeah. company doesn't do that. But that, again, that like is dependent on like the industry.
Yeah.
Like I feel like it's more so like the tech industry and the financial industry, like
yeah.
like health tech also. Like I feel like it's yeah. just very like you're so it seems like they consider their employees so dispensable and they don't want to give too much power to said employee. So it's like you really have to
want the job done.
You really have to worry about yourself and, you know, get those skills and become an expert in said industry, that you can't be as yeah. dispensable.
Yes, so that you can make yourself like somewhat indispensable, because like the only way to do that is specializing, building expertise, like gaining unique skills, and like however you need to do that, like go ahead and do that. Because like something that I didn't like was one company, and I will say the name because I don't have anything to lose. Like, so like one thing that Google did was like while things were on the up and up, like during the, I think the tech experienced the biggest crash for this reason, because during the pandemic, they were the main industry that was thriving. Yeah, everyone's
thriving.
Home. Everyone's online. Everyone's like using these resources. People are like, actually, there's not enough people working here. Like, we need more. So they hired, inflated to meet that demand, expected, like, economics-wise. Like, they want to meet demand to maximize product profits. But then, now that, like, people are coming, like, going back out, like, aren't, like, those things aren't as high in demand. And then at the same time, coupled with the economy and how it's, like, there's, like, inflation is happening right now, like, it's just a perfect storm to, it's like we have too many employees now and yeah. we don't need all these people. So it's cutting time. And so I guess like, it's just an eye-opening thing. And I feel like for those people who are, for those of my friends who are listening, who have been unemployed, like we're thinking about you, we're praying for you, and we know that you're gonna like bounce back. Like we know that like, this isn't the end. And that-
Isn't there like, a bounce back song by like Sean?
Yes. Big Sean. Was trying to tell me just to say
I was
it.
Like, I was like trying to mimic. I was like, sing. Yeah. And I was like, wait, I don't know if she really got it. So last night took an L,
but tonight I bounce back. Wait, what's the next lyric? Knew that. We're not here to bounce back. Sorry, it's been a while. And it's Big Sean's fault. It's his fault because he's happily in a relationship with Jhené Aiko, and because of that, like, I haven't heard from him. But apparently, I'm not sure if they're still happy. I hope they are. I don't think they're together anymore. I think they split.
No, they're together.
Are you sure? Because like,
at least as of a month ago, they're together. I don't know if something happened this month, but
because like, Chris in December something happened. Like they're together for Christmas, but like they weren't on good terms. Like they took Christmas photos together, but something was wrong.
I literally can't tell you. I thought they were together and happy. So
okay, well, that's what anyway, we're gonna go guys. Off of then, because we always go off of the best version of the story.
Truly.
So I'm happy that they're happy, but he needs to release some music because he's one of my favorite rappers. Him and Kendrick Lamar are like of the tops for me, and I don't know where they at. Like I haven't heard a thing. So well, take your time. Big Sean, do your thing, live your life, because you know you're indispensable. See what
he
I
truly
did there? You're
is.
Indispensable
he's
in the rap
happy
industry.
Life. He's truly
you can
his
take
happy,
your
happy
time.
Life. But anyway,
and that's what we hope for all of you guys that you. It's like that's what we hope for all of you guys. Like hopefully you take these tips that we talked about and some of this insight and like use it in whatever field you're in, so you can get that money and also be your own boss, even if you do have a boss, because that's really the goal, to be like a mover and shaker in your own way.
And also yeah. like I would also say that like I think let's I it will naturally happen, but also to our friends that are listening or folks that have been laid off or have experienced this like experience that we've kind of talked about that we don't really have, like I will say definitely don't consider being laid off or getting fired in a negative way, because this is a new norm, and like even though right now we're talking like we haven't been, like this could be in our foreseeable future as well. Like it's just we just have to continue being experts in our own way, and like and that's okay. This is just the new world, the new era.
Yeah, see and layoffs as an opportunity to lay up period. Get that slam dunk.
That was so good, Chinaza. I'm really proud of you. That was so good.
Thank
but yeah
you. Like that's really guys, it. Like, watch the basketball and how layups happen. And it's literally,
and,
you think it's not going to, they're not going to make it. They
literally
make it.
Bounce back after getting.
Use that backboard. Do what you got to do.
And prove everyone wrong.
Right.
Exactly.
And I hope that, and with that, like, it's time to end, sadly, another amazing pod. You can find us on all the platforms.
Everywhere.
Anchor, Google Podcasts, I don't know why I named our least popular ones.
Google.
Apple
I literally
Podcast,
don't know why
Spotify.
You went for Google. Like, let's do Spotify first, guys. I'm like so loyal to Spotify, and Chinaza literally can't even transition to Spotify. It's like breaking
I know.
My heart.
Spotify,
but
Apple Podcasts.
We're literally everywhere, like Chinaza said. Feel free to follow us on our Instagram at Call Me Whenever Podcast, where we will be trying to be a lot more active and trying to get, like, you know, your opinions on what you want to hear from us. Or if you want guests on our podcast and, you know, who you want to see.
Let us know.
Let us know. And as always,
call us whenever. Bye, guys. Love you.